You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and insightful daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and refined product markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the U.S. energy landscape.
Tuesday, April 7th, 2026. Long time coming? More Permian gas takeaway is coming. What about stronger Waha prices? Published by Housley Carr. Permian wells are churning out 22 BCF per day of residue natural gas, one-fifth of total U.S. production, but for many producers that gas abundance is a hindrance. A persistent shortfall in pipeline takeaway capacity has made negative, sometimes very negative, prompt month and cash prices at the all-important Waha hub an all-too-regular thing. But there's good reason to believe the situation will soon be changing for the much better. A massive tranche of new takeaway capacity will be coming online over the next few months, ending the shortfall for at least a few years, and gas demand from LNG exporters and power generators will be ramping up fast. In today's RBN blog, we begin an in-depth examination of Permian takeaway capacity, Waha prices, and the potentially far-reaching impact of solidly positive gas prices on producers' development strategies. The Permian's expansion into the world's largest, most productive crude oil play over the past 15 years came with a market-changing side effect, an equally impressive expansion in the production of associated gas, natural gas plus NGLs. Producers' primary focus was, and still is, on crude. To quote bank robber Willie Sutton, that's where the money is, and their number one priority has been supporting the development of the pipelines, storage and other infrastructure needed to produce it and get it to market. At the same time, however, they and their midstream partners had no choice but to deal with the vast and fast-increasing volumes of associated gas emerging from Permian wells with high-value oil. Massive sums have been invested in building out gas gathering systems, processing plants and takeaway pipelines, not just for natural gas but for NGLs, but it's almost always been a game of catch-up. Producers didn't want to make long-term pipeline capacity commitments, and that reluctance ultimately crushed the spread that justified the pipeline to begin with. That led to a game of chicken, where ultimately the biggest producers had no choice but to pony up to get the pipelines built and smaller producers suffered when their interruptible gas was sold at negative prices. We coined it the midstream conundrum. Constraints in Permian gas takeaway, often exacerbated by pipeline maintenance that temporarily took some capacity offline, had consequences, primarily in the prompt month and cash prices that shippers without sufficient pipeline space were offered for their gas at the Waha hub in West Texas's Pecos County. Figure 1 of the blog shows natural gas production in the Permian, gas consumption within the basin, flows to Mexico, pipeline capacity out of the region, and periods when takeaway constraints frequently caused Waha prices to turn negative. Note that most producers are not selling their gas at Waha prices. A lot of them have capacity on pipelines that can get their gas to downstream markets. Waha, at the crossroads of a long list of incoming and outgoing gas pipelines, is the Permian's most important trading hub. Waha prices were deeply discounted to Henry Hub through most of the 2010s but remained positive, often marginally so. But by 2019, Permian gas production had really taken off, incremental takeaway capacity wasn't being added fast enough, and Waha prices started going negative. In other words, producers and shippers had to pay to have someone take their gas. The situation has been particularly egregious the past few months. Waha cash prices have averaged negative $1.50 per million BTU so far this year, negative $3.60 per million BTU in March, and negative $6 per million BTU this past weekend. Negative gas pricing can be okay, the cost of doing business, you might say, but only if the costs are manageable and don't start taking too big a bite out of the profits from crude oil sales. And producers have strategies for mitigating the damage. For example, they can hedge their Waha-bound gas with forward and basis swap contracts that lock in small but still positive Waha prices, or they can focus on production areas with lower gas-to-oil ratios, GORs, when the takeaway situation at the hub tightens. The real fix for negative prices at Waha, though, is more pipeline takeaway capacity, ideally a lot more of it, and that's exactly what's about to happen. As we've been tracking in RBN's monthly Aero Model report, by the end of this year, a 570 million cubic feet per day expansion of the Gulf Coast Express pipeline, the 2.5 BCF per day Blackcomb pipeline, and the 1.5 BCF per day Hugh Brinson pipeline will add a staggering 4.6 BCF per day of incremental takeaway capacity out of the Permian. There's another important factor at work, too. As we've discussed in many blogs and in our weekly LNG Voyager report, the Gulf Coast is in the midst of a massive build-out of LNG export capacity, with a more than doubling of gas demand, to nearly 33 BCF per day from new liquefaction trains by 2031. As we see it, LNG export terminals, with an assist from new gas-fired power plants in the region, will need all the gas that Permian producers and shippers can send their way, and then even more from the Eagle Ford, the Haynesville, and other nearby shale plays. That huge demand pull from the Gulf Coast will support generally stronger Henry Hub natural gas prices, and, with the new pipeline capacity out of the Permian noted above, plus a 700 million cubic feet per day Hugh Brinson expansion in 2027, the 3.7 BCF per day Eiger Express pipeline in 2028, 29, and a handful of other new pipes nearer the coast, Trident, Traverse, and Mustang Express among them, far narrower discounts to Henry at Waha, say, Henry minus the variable cost of transportation. In addition, the plan to add 2.3 BCF per day of capacity to the Trans-Western system will increase demand west of the Permian. All that should be enough to eliminate constraints out of Waha and boost gas prices there, not just for a few months or a year, but for several years, very likely into the mid-2030s. All that raises a critically important two-part question. What will this new paradigm mean for Permian producers, and how are they likely to adjust their strategies and plans? Natural gas prices north of $4 per million BTU at Waha over the next couple of years would be a boon to the many Permian producers whose bottom lines have been hurt by sub-dollar one or, quite often, negative prices at the West Texas gas hub. Note that producers with sufficient takeaway capacity and/or long-term deals with LNG exporters have been affected far less. The most obvious initial impact will be improved production economics in gassier parts of the Permian, especially the western Delaware, where GORs are generally higher than those in the eastern Delaware, and virtually all of the Midland. During periods when gas prices at Waha are very low or negative, Delaware producers have tended to favor development in the less gassy part of the sub-basin, though we should emphasize that their primary driver has always been the crude oil resource. Again, that's where the money is. Now, with frictionless pipeline egress out of the Permian and stronger Waha gas prices on the horizon, we expect producers' interest in the gassier parts of the Delaware to accelerate. That view is bolstered not only by the fact that initial production, IP, rates for crude in the Delaware are considerably higher than in the Midland, but also by the AI-based analysis of our friends at Novi Labs, who have determined through their machine learning approach that the Delaware has a far larger inventory of high-quality wells, 5.5 years of Tier 1 sites at current drilling rates, and 7.3 years of Tier 2 sites, than the Midland, with 3.6 years of Tier 1 and 3.8 years of Tier 2 inventory. Better yet, at a flat $70 per barrel price for WTI, Novi Labs found that the Delaware has more than 70,000 drilling locations, more than 25 years of inventory at current drilling rates, that would earn at least a 25% rate of return on investment. There are other related developments that suggest a Delaware basin boom, including producers' interest in recent and impending federal oil and gas leases in New Mexico. ExxonMobil's recent decision to invest in and expand the Bahia NGL pipeline and extend it to the company's Cowboy Gas Processing Complex in Eddy County, New Mexico, and plans by several midstreamers to build additional processing plants and intrabasin pipelines to supplement what's already there. Notably, Double E Pipeline LLC recently announced an open season on a planned expansion of its eponymous pipeline between southeastern New Mexico and Waha. The open season runs to May 15. What all this portends is continued growth in both the gassier and less gassy parts of the Delaware, assuming, of course, that the infrastructure required to facilitate increased gas production is in place. A lot is already in the ground or in development, and more will be needed. In an upcoming blog, we'll discuss what's being planned on that front and whether it will be sufficient to support the increasing production we foresee. Long Time Comin' was written by John Hyatt and appears as the first song on Hyatt's 22nd studio album, Terms of My Surrender. The slow blues song reflects on aging and finding grace and peace for a weary soul. Personnel on the record were John Hyatt, lead vocals, acoustic guitar, Doug Lancio, electric guitar, Nathan Jerry bass, John Coleman, keyboards, Kenneth Blevins, drums, percussion, and Brandon Young, backing vocals. Terms of My Surrender was recorded in 2014 at Studio G in East Nashville and produced by Doug Lancio. The album was released in July 2014 and went to number 4 on the Billboard Americana/Folk Albums chart and number 47 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart. The LP was recorded live in a couple of takes with Hyatt's backing band, The Combo. John Hyatt is an American singer/songwriter. He began his musical career in his hometown of Indianapolis, playing clubs around the city when he was a teenager. He moved to Nashville when he was 18 and scored a job as a staff songwriter with Tree Music Publishing. He signed a record deal with Epic Records in 1973 and released his first single, We Make Spirit, on the label. Later that year, Three Dog Night had a number 16 hit on the charts with Hyatt's song Sure As I'm Sitting Here. He has released 24 studio albums, 2 live albums, and 31 singles. In 2008, he received the Americana Music Lifetime Achievement Award for songwriting. Hyatt still records and performs live. He will begin a European tour in June.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.